A fishing protest by a group of Marshall fishermen late last month is the latest development in an ongoing conversation in western Alaska about the relationship between the high seas pollock fishery, regional development groups, and subsistence fishermen. From KNOM in Nome, Jesse Zink reports.
In late June, fishermen in six boats from the Yukon River village of Marshall intentionally took 100 king salmon after the subsistence season had been closed. Nick Andrew Jr. was one of those fishermen. He blames commercial fishing in the Bering Sea for declining Chinook returns.
The pollock trawl fishery can basically waste salmon without consequence. However, we along the river who rely on this precious resource for subsistence and our well-being bear the brunt of the conservation burden. And we're criminalized for pursuing our way of life.
The Bering Sea pollock fishery is a $1 billion-a-year industry, and king salmon are part of its bycatch. Bycatch rates have fluctuated wildly in recent years, from a record high of 120,000 in 2007 to less than 20,000 in 2008. Biologists estimate that about half the bycatch was destined for Western Alaska waters. A portion of the catch limit is given to community development quota groups to help develop coastal villages in Western Alaska. One group is the Norton Sound Economic Development Corporation, based in the Nome region. At a series of community meetings NSEDC held in the region this spring, Chinook bycatch was the top issue of discussion. NSEDC is well known throughout the region for the millions of dollars it funnels towards small business startup, vocational training programs, scholarships, and infrastructure development. But NSEDC's fisheries research director, Charlie Lean, says his company couldn't do anything without pollock.
We own allocations of many different fisheries in the Bering Sea, Pacific cod, halibut, crab of different sorts. Pollock is our bread and butter, if you will. It accounts for a high percentage, more than half of our revenues from fishing.
The relationship between pollock and king salmon has received a lot of high-level attention from the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council in recent years. The council shapes federal fish policy for Alaskan waters and is moving forward with a Chinook bycatch limit of about 50,000 that should be law by the 2011 fishing season. Lean says he thinks it will provide the right combination of incentives to pollock fishermen.
Most boats will fall well below the 47,500 performance standard, their little piece of that. But one or two boats are going to have difficulty. You know, they're going to be the unlucky ones that go out first and accidentally set on the Chinook, and they're going to, oh, darn, you know, and they'll have to run away from that site. But that's how the rest of the industry knows where not to go. If your sector, you know, say catcher processors or CDQ exceeds their piece of that pie, they're shut down for the season. So this is a fair-sized club, and it's got some nails sticking out of it.
But the North Pacific Council's move doesn't satisfy everyone. Unalakleet fisherman Art Ivanoff says the pollock industry has too much influence on the decision-making process. He's asked Senator Lisa Murkowski to consider amending the Magnuson-Stevens Act to include four tribal representatives on the council.
And it just seems like the council sort of was laid back and trying to prevent this crisis from developing. And I think that's basically why we're calling for seats on the council, is to have members that could voice concerns and vote in opposition of what industry is asking for.
On the other side is the pollock industry. Brent Payne is the director of United Catcher Boats, the industry's lobby group. He says there are numerous stakeholders that influence the North Pacific Council's decision, and he thinks four seats on an 11-member council is too many for Native representatives.
If you added four, they would basically be able to block anything that would go through. It would change the dynamics of the council, probably, and I think that the stakeholders from Washington would feel threatened, I think, by that. So you got to ask yourself, why would you want to put that many tribal representatives on the council?
Left unanswered in the debate about bycatch limits and representation on the North Pacific Council is how CDQ groups like NSEDC balance their income from the pollock industry with their responsibilities to the subsistence fishermen they represent. NSEDC's Lean says his organization is committed to its region.
Our CDQ group and most of the other CDQ groups, our constituency, if you will, is local. We represent the people of the Norton Sound region. The idea is to make life and business viable in the region. We wouldn't cut our own throats. I think when we understand the numbers, I think people will understand that what was done at the council was well-intentioned and will be effective.
The chair of the North Pacific Council is Eric Olson, who also works for the Yukon Delta Fisheries Development Association CDQ group. He declined to comment. Governor Palin declined to comment on the story, citing the ongoing investigation in Marshall, and numerous members of her administration did not return phone calls. Meanwhile, wildlife troopers and the Fish and Wildlife Service are wrapping up an investigation into the Marshall fish protest. protest leader Andrew says they've made their point and look forward to the ongoing region-wide discussion.
We went out to get the attention of the system, and we've got it. We're fighting for our people. We cannot allow big business and an unsympathetic state government in Alaska to further dictate our traditional ways of life.
Reporting from Nome, I'm Jesse Zink.